Amen. Thanks, you guys. So, so good. Well, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you. We at Celebration believe that all women deserve to be celebrated because we believe that whether you have children of your own or you have nurtured and mentored other children, that we are blessed by you and we need your nurturing presence here at Celebration. So we want to celebrate you. So if you haven't already, in the back, we have a gift for you. And this is primarily for women 18 and older. But we have pots, not weed, but pots in the back that you can put soil in and some rose seeds in and water them. And then you can also, there's more. Take that home with you, but then you can also enter to win that beautiful rose bush in the back. So you can get a raffle ticket. I recommend doing that before the end of the service because we're going to raffle it off at the end of the service. Not only can you take home a pot and grow your own rose bush at home, but you can take an already somewhat grown rose bush home with you too if you win the raffle. So that's in the back. And it's just, again, our way of saying thank you. Thank you for making us better. Now, we're going to be doing a lot of interacting today, so for you introverts, let's just buckle in. You can also spend a lot of time reflecting, and that's okay too. But first, I want to hear from you. I've been thinking about this word blessing and all of its derivatives, to bless, blessed, all of that. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about that word. But I want you to turn to somebody near you, and I just want you to talk about what comes to mind when you think of the word bless, hashtag blessed, blessing, all that. What comes to mind? It could be as spiritual or as ordinary as you will, but talk amongst yourselves, and then I want to hear what you come up with here in just a minute. All right, I'd love to hear just some of your initial thoughts. What does hashtag blessed or blessing, I'm blessed, what do those things mean to you? What comes to mind? Forgiveness? Oh, Teresa. Hey, Big T. Forgiveness. Love it. Love it. Love it. Ame?
I was thinking gratitude.
Ugh. Preach it. Big T said forgiveness. Ame said gratitude. What else? Frank? Nice. Love it. You guys are way more spiritual than I am. When we all come together. Love it. What else? Don? Yeah. Don said the people who have poured into our lives. Greg, did you have one? Substance. Can you say a little bit more? I think I know what you mean, but. It's not like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example. But yeah, no, I get what you mean. Substance, not frothy. We'll unpack that. Anything else? Anyone else? Grace?
Love.
Nice. John? Sneezing. Ah, yes. How many of you think of the word bless when you think of sneezing? Because what do we say when somebody sneezes? God bless you or bless you. Yeah, nicely done. Yes, Rochelle. Goodness. Anyone else?
Health.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Health. Goodness. No offense, but I think sneezing is my favorite. Grant. Someone's been intentional, perhaps someone on high. Yeah. Yes.
Someone
I love it. Okay, one more. Oh, yes, Tim. I like how many times you incorporated blessing and blessed in your definition of blessed. That's so good. But no, all the people who have blessed us. Yes, well said, well said. All right, last one, Tim, or Tim. Mike. Hot Mike. I can't call him that. Only you can. Jamie calls him Hot Mike, but she's the only one who can call him that, right? I can't. So, yes. Nice to embarrass you. Yeah. Not bad. Sometimes. Seems like there's a qualifier there. It's conditional. No. That children, sometimes. All right, how many of you? Okay, last one in the back. Ooh. Nicely said. What is your name? Dave. Dave said something, he's considered blessing, something beyond my reach, something that's divine. So good. Great answers, great answers. How many of you remember that hashtag? It was about 11 years ago. I did some research on it and have since found that it's considered cringy. So it's not cool anymore. I was going to make that the main focus of my intro here, but since it's not cool anymore, I decided to back off on that. But no, how many of you remember the hashtag blessed that's on the screen? Do you guys remember that? What would people mean when they would say hashtag blessed? What would you, they post it on social media? Materially. Yeah. Thankful. They would often post it on social media saying, you know what, found an amazing parking spot today, hashtag blessed. Right? Or got a good deal on this outfit, hashtag blessed, right? They would take this idea of blessing and being blessed and reduce it to something that you said was like more material. Something they would kind of, they would reduce it. And sometimes it would be seen as a way to humble brag. Like, yeah, I just ran my 50th marathon, hashtag blessed, right? Like it's a way to kind of, I haven't run one, so I couldn't use that one. But no, it's kind of seen as like a way to sort of virtue signal or humble brag rather than as an expression of gratitude. But in the Old Testament, which is the first half of this book, and then the New Testament, the word bless or the variations of it, blessing, to bless. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for bless is baruch, and it's mentioned around 400 times. Oftentimes with God as the person who is doing the blessing. You mentioned that, kind of a divine initiation. There's something there. If it's mentioned 400 times in the Old Testament alone, it's something to pay attention to. In the New Testament, there's two different words for blessed. It's either makarios, which is often translated as happy, and then there's eulogeo, which is blessed. And it's used around 100 times. But again, they have similar meanings. So a while back, and I think some people still refer to bless, maybe they don't do the hashtag because that's kind of cheesy, but this whole idea of blessed, when we reduce it to just simply material things, we're going to see here in a little bit that it's kind of like what the Princess Bride says, I do not think it means what you think it means, right? So we're going to look at what it means. But I'm also aware that our cultural understandings, our culture way of seeing the world, our lenses that we put on to see the world affect how we read scripture. And it's easy. We've heard of prosperity gospel. We've heard of the health wealth gospel. It's easy to read, take those lenses and look at it. When we say that God's favor is for us, we think that, okay, any material thing should be available to me because God has, if he wants blessing for me, then that's what it means. And that's not what he means at all. But we can bring our cultural lenses to it. So we're going to explore a little bit today. We're going to read. And as Eugene Peterson says, when we read scripture, the invitation is to live into it. It's not just something that we do with our minds. It's something that we live into. And so we're going to live into this passage. And we're going to do it by midrashing together. How many of you have been here when we've engaged in a midrash? Okay, safe space. How many of you like it? When we do midrash, how many of you really do not like it? Safe space, honesty, love it. Thank you. We're going to do it though. So, but we're going to explore it. And I just want to explain to you a little bit about what a midrash is, because this is an ancient practice. It's nothing new to celebration. We didn't invent this idea. But if you've looked at scripture at all, you've noticed that sometimes there's different ways of translating words. Sometimes scriptures seem to contradict each other. What do we do with that? It seems like these inherent disagreements at times or contradictions in scripture didn't bother the Jewish people of old. It didn't affect the Jewish faith. In fact, rabbis and religious scholars throughout history would discuss these passages, specifically in the Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah. They would study the Torah and they would discuss it and engage it, that maybe they would look at the gaps that seem to be in some of the biblical stories, and they would even argue some theology together. And these discussions and the ways that they would engage scripture, it didn't make them antagonistic towards each other. It helped them understand it better. It helped them live into scripture even better. The goal wasn't to ultimately come to an agreement. It was to engage the text as the living word of God that speaks to us today. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to the text together. We're going to see different things together. And we're going to see what he has to say to us about this idea, this important word, this concept of blessing. So we're not going to debate a passage. We're going to engage in it together. And so I'm going to, in just a moment, go to the passage, but I want to explain to you just real briefly how do we do a midrash? So you know what we're doing, and then I'm going to walk you through each step. It's in your bulletins. You can follow along there in the different steps that are there. There's three steps, three movements with the midrash. The first is curiosity, or playing with the text. This is so much fun for a Bible nerd like myself. It's using your imagination. It's playing with it. What do you notice? What seems odd to you? What do you wonder about the text? It's not coming to any sort of conclusion or answer. It's just being curious. The next movement is collaboration, working with the text. What is the context? What was going on in this passage? And this is where we work with each other. What do you know about the context? Or maybe you read a few verses before our passage and a few verses after, just to kind of understand what's happening in the world at this time, or what's happening in the context. And then the last one is conscience, or resting with the text. And it's listening. Lord, what are you saying to us? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to us through your word? So we're going to do a movement, and that's going to be, I'm going to read the passage. You're going to practice the first movement, curiosity, together. You're going to talk for about 2 to 3 minutes and just share, what are you curious about? And then we have two awesome assistants, Sophia and Julia, who are going to run around with the microphones, and we're going to listen to you. What are you noticing and wondering about? And then we'll go on to the next movement. So we have three movements total, and we're going to listen to God together. So I'd like to invite our readers up. Ben, where's Ben? Right there. And then Bernie, if you want to come on up. Ben is going to read our passage in Mandarin, and then Bernie's going to read it in Spanish, and then I'll read it in English.
民数记第6章24节到26节，愿耶和华赐福给你，保护你，愿耶和华使他的脸光照你，赐恩给你，愿耶和华向你扬脸，赐你平安。这是主的话，感谢神。
All right, give it up, right? And Bernie's going to read to us in Spanish.
Buenos días. Versículo 6:24 al 26. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga en ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga paz en ti. Y ponga en ti paz. Palabra de Dios.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bernie. All right, now we're going to read this passage 3 times in English, once for each movement that we're going to go through. So I'm going to read it for the first time. We're in Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 to 27. You can listen to it, follow along on your handout, or look on the screen. But here we go. We'll start in verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless." You see that word? Bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. That's the first reading. So we're going to play with the text right now. You're going to be curious. Again, I encourage you to follow along in your handout. That'll just sort of serve as a guide. But in this first movement of curiosity, there's no interpretation allowed. You're not saying, I think what he means here. We're not doing that yet. What do you notice? What do you wonder? This should be more playful than studious. Here's an example. This is as basic as it could be. I noticed that this story is in the 6th chapter of the book of Numbers. It could be that basic, or it could be bigger than that, but you're just noticing and wondering. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to talk amongst yourselves, to notice and wonder, and then I'm going to have Julia and Sophia to come on up here, and we'll be ready to come around and see, hear from you. What are some things that you notice and wonder? All right? Any questions? Make sense? All right. Let's go be curious. All right. So Julie and Sophia, why don't you guys get in your positions and stand up wherever you are. If you have something, or raise your hand. What are you curious about? What did you notice or wonder?
I've always saw this verse or read it before is, may the Lord do this, may the Lord do that, may the Lord do this as a request. But the way this is written, it almost sounds like a magic spell, you know, that the Lord says, you say this, and they say, the Lord do this, the Lord do this, the Lord do this, and as a result, you're going to have his name on you, and you will be blessed. I've just never seen that verse like that before.
Yeah, interesting. It's interesting. There's one over there.
The verb conjugation, the Lord make his face shine on you, I would say makes in natural English. And so Barbara and I were talking about how we wonder if different translations would produce the may God bless you, may
sure.
God, you know, in a different way of speaking. This translation being
interesting. Love that. Love makes some grammar. Dave, why don't you come up here a little bit, and Sophia will meet you halfway.
My question, what I wondered, was why God didn't tell him himself, why he had to send a messenger.
So good. So good. Yeah, there's another one right there.
We noticed just the use of face. What does that mean? But also, what does it mean to put the name of God on the Israelites? Yeah. How do you put a name on people?
So good. A few more.
I didn't think of this at first, but now that I'm reading it again, with like tell Aaron and his sons, like it's like he's giving them the authority to bless, like you can baptize. It's like he's putting it in their hands to, this is what, how you're supposed to say it, and that he's giving the authority to, like, let others act on behalf of him.
Yeah. Impart God's blessing on people. So good, Rochelle. Any more? One more?
I was noticing that it's not there. When we talk about blessing, it's not, you know, may the Lord bless you to have an easy life, or may the Lord bless you to have a lot of things, or, but I feel like a lot of those related back to relational and feeling close to God, like all these other characteristics that, as I'm reading it, I'm like, well, yeah, that's like an intimate relationship and feeling God's presence or closeness.
Yeah.
Not, you know, maybe all those other things that might confidence in this blessing.
So good. Love it. Okay, last one. Right over here, Julia D.
I wondered why God thought the people needed to hear this.
Oh, yep. D wondered, why did God think the people needed to hear this? Love it. All right. You guys, this is super, super fun. I should do more of my sermon prep with you because this is just really fun. I made a few observations, so you guys can sit down for a minute. Aren't they doing a great job, Sophia and Julia? But no, I just came up. I noticed that there's three different statements here, and each pairing has the Lord as the subject, and he's doing two different things. The Lord does this. The Lord does this and this. And it's interesting how he does something and then the pairing, the second verb, is some sort of activity or action on their behalf. The Lord bless and keep. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Love that. You had said this, Aaron and the priests, were to pray this blessing over Israel. I find that fascinating. What's that about? Those were noticing. And then the wondering, the questions I had were, why is this blessing given here? Why is it important? Why is it here in Numbers chapter 6? Because we're just coming in, we're just kind of helicoptering in out of the blue. Why is it here? And I wonder, and you guys, several of you agreed with this, I wonder about the significance of his face. What's up with that? His face shining on you and his face turning towards you. And then you guys said this too. Why does God need to put his name on his people? Or how does he do that? Interesting. So good playing. This is a great way to just encounter scripture. Don't jump to interpretations. And when you're playing, don't assume that by your playing, you're interpreting scripture. That's dangerous. We're just playing and asking questions. Now we're going to work with the text a little bit more. I'm going to read it again. I invite you to close your eyes this time and hear the word together. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." So good. So this next movement, it's called collaboration or working with the text. And this is where we look at maybe what some of us in our groups may know about what's going on historically here, what's going on in the context, in the text. This is where the community, we work together to seek to understand what's going on here. Does that make sense? And if you don't know much, great. That's fine too. We're learning together. All right, so talk amongst yourselves. What's going on around this passage? What do you know about the book of Numbers? Why are blessings important? Those are some things to think about. And talk with each other, and then we'll come back in about 3 minutes. All right. Good convo. Love this. If you guys can get ready. So what are some things that you work together on? That you're understanding together about the text? What are some thoughts? Would love to hear what you have to say.
Neatest part about blessing is that God blesses us and he invites us to bless others. And there's so many ways in our daily lives each week where we can reach out to someone who maybe perhaps is less fortunate than us, or we see a need of somebody that needs a helping hand. God uses us to do that. He's the only one that can equip us to do that.
So good, Tim. Love it. There's one in the back, Ray. So good. And did you have one? No? Okay.
Sophia. My question is, at what point did Moses say this to Aaron? Part of Aaron's family? Was it while they were still in the wilderness during the 40 years? Or had they already entered into the promised land? That's one question. And the other question was about counting. Were they supposed to count that the people of God, or did he not want them to count?
Was that in this passage? Oh, jumping ahead.
That came up in our conversation.
Gotcha. Love it, love it. So, so good. Julie, we have Donna here, but Don, you go first.
We discussed peace.
Yeah.
The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Is it personal peace? Peace of your environment? Then you ask the Lord to grant peace for your country.
Love it. Donna?
So we actually did look back at the whole book of Numbers and looked at the context. And Numbers 1, it says, a year after Israel's departure from Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And basically, he started dividing people up into tribes and giving them duties and things like that. And that's when he gave Aaron and his descendants the duty of being the priests and then explaining the duty of the offerings and how to give offerings to God. And then the priestly blessing, and then explaining the priestly blessing. And then it said, this is how you get the priestly blessing.
So good.
So that's the context that we discovered.
Nicely done. On your phone. Hello, awesome. We have Ben Hopwood over here. Julie, if you want to come over to Ben. Okay, Grace, and then Ben.
Oh, I just noticed that when he says, tell Aaron and his sons, I kind of interpreted that as you can tell one person, and they can tell another person, they can tell another person, so it spreads other as a community. And that's how, at least for the first, that's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Grace. Ben?
We noted that talk to people who are maybe new to the faith. I mean, starting in Genesis, and it's kind of really interesting, awesome narrative. And then they did Numbers. And for many people, they're like, hang on, I'm not going to have Numbers.
Or Leviticus. You can die in either one, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you look at it from a standpoint of their actual situation, right? This is a people who had like a pillar of flame. They had an army at their back. They had gone through this, like, really weird things. If any of us experienced something like that, that would be something you would talk about. You know, like, what happened to you last year? Oh, well, we walked through a sea, right? And now today, they're in the middle of this wilderness that has nothing. Like, it's desert. You can't find water. You can't find any of this stuff. And then Moses is doing all of this nation shaping, right? But I think part of it is, and then we talked about genealogy, it's also kind of boring to us because, like, we don't associate with the genealogy. Not really. But to these people, being a part meant that you lived. And then the other portion of it is then, like, we talked briefly about the blessing portion, which I think was discussed, which is that this is like a new way of relating to God. This is unlike the old way of relating to God. They had just gone through like the calf, the golden calf thing, right? And that was how they used to relate to a God. And that was how they used to gain blessings. And now Moses and God is like setting off to Aaron. This is the new way of the blessing, which is not like, it's like an imparted blessing. So I think that part of it, I think, is just realizing our disconnect comes more from us not relating to them and not really realizing the situation they were in. Whereas for them, this was like a big deal. It's like, my name is in the book. My family is in the book. Like,
yeah.
What part of the blessing?
Yeah. Well said. Beautifully said, Ben. One more person? So good.
Well, we sort of agreed we weren't really sure when the golden calf happened, but when you go back and you look, they came out of Egypt with all of these gods, multiple, and first thing they did when Moses went to get the law was make a calf and dance around it, and Aaron was the one that was doing it. So this is really, like you said, setting a whole new precedent for them.
Yeah, so good. We're going to pause, stop there, because we could go on. I love the scholars in the room. Well done. So isn't this fun? And don't say no. You can say no quietly, but this is super fun for me. But so Numbers, I'm going to make a few points here, piggyback on what you said. Numbers was written after the people of Israel were brought out of Egypt. And as you guys so wisely, astutely noted, in Egypt, there were a plethora of deities that you worshiped. And while the people of Israel were aware of Yahweh, they knew Yahweh, that was a distinguishing God among all these other religions. There were still all these other religions too, and they knew how to deal with idols. They didn't know how to deal with a living being, right? And so it was kind of disorienting. And so they built a golden calf. That's wonderful context, both Ben and Leslie bringing that to the table. They're like, well, but we need an idol to worship, right? So they built this golden calf, and God is like, No. That is not who I am. I am a living being. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to put my name on you. I want to be identified with you. God of the universe, creator of the universe, says I want to be identified with you. And I think, Ben, as you noted, this book of Numbers is designed to be an instruction manual for how these people are to live. They've been in slavery for 400 years. They don't really know what to do or how to do it, especially when they're in the wilderness, when they're in this waiting period. They know the promised land's coming up sometime, but how do we live now? So the book of Numbers and Leviticus both are this specifics of how to live as the people of God. But then Yahweh, which is what Lord is translated here as, Yahweh does something really fascinating. He does something yet again that's familiar to the people. He takes this idea of blessing, and there's this idea of curse that we're going to talk about next week, but he takes this idea of blessing that was seen as a very common thing, that people wanted to somehow get the blessing from the deity or the pagan god that they worshipped. And Yahweh speaks to the people in this language. The Lord bless you. But what does he mean by that? It's mentioned 400 times in the Old Testament, this word bless, baruch. In Genesis, it's talking about being fruitful and multiply. It's talking about God's favor. And there's material blessing implied at times with this word bless. Blessing in the Torah, particularly in this book of Numbers, it talks about having many descendants, fruitful land, good health, long life, protection from enemies, and most importantly, God's abiding presence. He's saying, I'm going to put my name on you. And then it says, the Lord bless you. The Lord give his favor, and then may he keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. He will protect you. God will keep you safe. And in the New Testament, we see that the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of Christ be over you and protect you. So here's the God of the universe saying to his people who were in a waiting period, no, Aaron, I want you to tell my people the Lord, Yahweh, bless you and keep you. And then he says, the Lord make his face shine upon you. There's so much about the face of God. There's an intimacy there that Yahweh is saying, no, my face will shine on you. This idea of a shining face, it's like delight and joy. It's like a grandparent looking at their grandchild doing their little antics, and there's just joy. That's the picture, that his face is shining with delight towards his people. And it says, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Grace describes this attitude of kindness from someone who we don't necessarily deserve it from, but who gives it to us anyway. So may the Lord delight in you and enjoy you and be kind and gracious to you. And then it says, And it feels like it's being redundant here, right? The Lord turn his face towards you. Like, what's the difference between your face shining on me and your face turning towards me? It's the idea of paying attention. Not only may the Lord delight and enjoy you, may the Lord pay attention to you. That your needs, your hopes, your longings, your struggles, and again, the people of Israel are in the wilderness. They're waiting. And God's blessing includes the Lord turn his face towards you, pay attention to you, and give you peace, shalom. This idea of completeness, this idea of wholeness, this idea of settledness, of unity. All of this is with God as the initiator. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord, and I'm using the word may, it's not in here. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. All right, let's read it one more time. This last time, I'm going to read it, and then we're going to rest in the text, which is, especially for you introverts, we're just going to be with ourselves and the Lord and marinate in this passage one more time. Right. I lost my place here. Hold on. All right. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." These are the words of the Lord. In this third and final movement, what I'd like for you to do is just to sit in these words. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Lord, what do you have to say to me personally through this text? What do you have to say to us as a community through this passage? Give you a few more minutes, and then we'll have you guys do the final mic time. All right, let's hear from you. Last time, girls. Great job. How is the Holy Spirit perhaps speaking to you about you, or how is he speaking to you that for us that we need to hear as a group? Michelle?
Happy Mother's Day, all the moms. I feel like I'm talking so much.
It's great.
But I have a lot of ideas, Mark. But I was at a conference Friday, management for women, and it's a technology conference. But one of the things that they highlighted, a huge topic on the whole topic was about loneliness and how in the corporate world or even in our own home, like 1 in 5 people at work don't even talk to a single other person. They don't.
Oh, wow.
Have anybody to text, and you'd find that. What do you mean? They're a big corporate CEO, and they don't have people to talk to. So what this does, and loneliness is a big issue,
yeah.
And how we get home at night and you ask your kids, or how was your day? Fine. How was school? Fine. But people don't talk, like, and truly ask how everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
So what this resonates with me, too, from that conference is, like, what I can share that the Lord is with you, and this, like, the loneliness is a huge issue, but if people realize you're not alone, that God's there, that they feel less lonely.
Yeah.
But I know he doesn't text back, so it's kind of hard.
So good. Thanks, Rochelle. So good. All right, Dawn in the back, Julia. So good.
Unfortunately, I give up to pain at work, and I don't have resources.
Yeah.
And they are resources. But I think that's saying, God, I am aware. And focus on me. Focus on, like, the community that
So good. Thank you, Dawn. Julie, we have Joe up here. And then after Joe, maybe one more. Cool to do Joe and then John.
It just occurs to me that these are the words of the loving God.
Wow. No. Yeah. Okay. Julie, if you can go. Well said. And to John Mayberry, and John's our last one. No pressure, John, but this has to be really good. So just say. Ditto.
Last verse. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. It's not if they put my name on the Israelites, then I will bless them. He's saying he's going to bless them no matter what. He wants to bless us because he loves us. He wants to keep us. He wants to shine his face on us and be gracious to us. As Joe said, he loves us.
Yeah, so good. Thank you. Well done. I'm going to say a few more words, and then I'm going to give you a little bit more time for reflection here. You guys can sit down. You can just put them there on the table. You know, ever since God created the world, he wanted to bless his people. I mean, he was blessing all that he created. He said it's good, and he was blessing it, and be fruitful and multiply. Another word of bless, another way of saying blessing. And then as the people grew, he chose one person, Abraham, to be the vehicle for his blessing. And so then all of Abraham's descendants were the ones who were supposed to live out God's blessing on earth. And through them, the world is going to be blessed. And then we see here the people of God after they left Egypt. There's a lot of them, a lot of people, thousands, millions, we're not quite sure. And so God chose Aaron to bless and his sons to be priests, to bless his people who would then bless the nations. Was the idea. And throughout history, we see how the people of God, sometimes they blessed others, a lot of times they didn't. So then God took matters in his own hands, and he said, I'm going to send my son to bless the world through his death and his resurrection. We just celebrated Easter. So that everybody, I don't have to have a human intermediary. I don't need an Aaron. I don't need a whatever. I am blessing them, right? So now all the world can be blessed, and yet still God chooses to use people. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to use people to bless the world. Again, he chose Aaron. He chose the people of Israel. Now he chooses his church, the people of God, not only to be recipients of his blessing, but to be bearers of his blessing to the world. It's a both and. Blessing is kind of an intimate thing. When I look at my children and I bless them, I look in their eyes. It's like I'm looking in their face and I'm paying attention, and sometimes I even touch their cheeks and I bless them. That is the image of what God does for you and what he wants us to do for others. We may not need to touch their faces. That might feel uncomfortable and might be inappropriate, right? But that kind of intentionality, looking at people and saying, oh, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, you may not say those words to give blessing to other people, but it's an example of how we are to love, how we are to bless. To bless is to wish goodwill on the other person. I want to show you, just in closing, I'm going to give you a couple moments to reflect on this. Do you have that picture, Ben? It's a sculpture that I came across. There's this church, I'm not sure where it is. It's called the Ang Kong Church. They have an art team of 15 different sculptors who create all sorts of different sculptures. And this one is called His Gathering. Can you see at the bottom what he's gathering? Do you see it? It's on the front of your bulletin, too, if you can't see it. It's a little chick. It's this nurturing presence of Jesus, nurturing this little chick, kind of protecting it, caring for it. I think it's this beautiful picture of this blessing. And, you guys, if God created male and female out of his image, this is this beautiful mothering heart of God who is nurturing his creation, and he nurtures you. So I want you to just sit in this image, and I want you to reflect a little bit longer How do you need to receive God's blessing this morning? How do you need to experience his delight and his attention towards you today? And how is he inviting you to join him in blessing someone else today? So I'll give you a couple moments, and then we'll pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who wants to bestow his blessing on us, that you want to put your name on our hearts, that you want to pour out your blessing and your protection and your grace and your delight and your peace and your attention, that it's freely and readily available to each one of us. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to come yet again to you, to surrender yet again to our need to be blessed, to be seen, to be touched by you. I pray that you would give us the courage to surrender our hearts to you and to keep coming back to your promise that your name, you want your name written on us. And Lord, as Rochelle said earlier, Lord, we pray for the countless people who are lonely, who are isolated, who feel anything but blessed. And Lord, we claim that you have blessed us so that we can bless others. So as we go out today, whether it's hanging out with moms or friends or family or strangers, Lord, that you would give us the ability, the courage to see and to bless those we encounter. Not out of our own strength, not flippantly, not reluctantly, but with your heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Couple things, and then we'll send you out. If I could get the raffle basket, whoever has that, if you could bring it up. While they're bringing that up, just a few announcements. This coming Wednesday is a bike shed team meeting. The very own John Carlberg. Yes. And do you meet in here or out by the bike shed? At the chapel. And then there's a work day this Saturday, too. Okay. Yeah, so that's on Saturday, 9 to noon. Also, in 2 weeks, we're having our Memorial Sunday, Graduation Sunday, Celebration of Sammy Taco Party Sunday. Try to repeat that. So our very own Roberto is going to bring the tacos. Don't know if you've had his tacos, but he was describing them to me the other day. He's like, Jill, I don't like these like really tiny tacos with just a little bit of meat. He's like, it needs to be like overflowing with meat. So we're going to have us some good tacos. That's coming up on Memorial Sunday, May 24th. Sign up in the church app so we know what sides you're bringing. The church is providing the tacos, the drinks and the dessert, but just we needed a lot of sides and salads for that. And then lastly, there's a worship night on May 27th, our monthly worship night in the chapel, Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. All right. So, Dietrich, can I enlist your help? So, women, get your raffle tickets out. And this is for the rose bush that's in the back. Can you draw one? Drum roll, please. Get your ticket out. All right. Thank you. Great job. It is 643. Does everybody have those numbers? 22. The last number is 8. Who has it? Christy Sauer. Whoop, whoop. Sophia, you want to bring it to your mom? Nicely done. It's rigged. It's rigged. Love it. Super, super fun. Thank you. It's so pretty. Awesome. And I invite you to stand up. Remember, ladies, if you haven't made a pot, go ahead and do that. If you did make a pot, make sure you grab it before you leave. And let's everybody stand. And this, our closing benediction, that is our celebration benediction. It's also, it's a blessing. Benediction is a blessing. And let's pray. Nice. I'm trying to get you to. All right. Remember that as you leave this place, Everyone whose path you cross carries a heavy load, especially on a day like Mother's Day. And if you were to scratch just below the surface, you will find pain, loneliness. You'll find it. So be good to yourself. Be kind to those you meet. Grab that hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you. And grab the hand of a friend. And the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.